The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Sunday night, we have lots of fab talk, a lot of injury talk, unfortunately. We got a lot of good teams playing well in the AL East. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, all coming up next. Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Scott Janstad, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. If you could please rate or review the podcast, if you enjoy listening to us, if you have a good time with us on Sunday nights or Monday mornings, if you have to listen to the audio version, please do leave some stars, leave a nice comment. Goes a long ways towards helping us out, help people find the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. Jeff, I feel like we're finally in the season. I feel like we're a couple months in. You know, standings start to mean a little bit, although not very much still. But I feel like I'm getting a better feel of what's going on in games and watching more games. I feel like we're 2 months is kind of the start where the season, the fantasy season begins for me. But how's everything with you?
Mostly pretty well. I've got one team that is just getting crushed by injuries, but that's fine. And others by my bad judgment. Besides that, doing pretty well. I've got some teams that are contending.
Did you win any soccer championships tonight?
We did not coach nor play this weekend. We will have a tournament next weekend for Aaron. So I'm
surprised. No holiday tournament, holiday weekend tournaments. I would have thought that'd be prime time.
They exist. Yeah. We opted not to play. That's the great thing about ASO tournament season is they're not connected to each other. You can pick and choose which tournaments you want to play. And we opted to take the weekend off, and it's finals week for my kids this upcoming week too. So kind of we're going to make a point of not having tournaments this Memorial Day weekend, I think.
How do your kids do with finals? Cause I hated finals.
Oh, the funny thing is this is the first time they've had them at the high school for the last couple of years because of COVID.
Oh, that's right.
So Allie, who's a junior, actually hasn't had a high school final until now, but
that's a good little skirt right there.
So the stress level is kind of high. She did have an AP final already, so that counts.
Do you help out, or is it the point where you don't know any of the stuff they're studying anyway?
The latter. I help out by encouraging them to study. Aaron doesn't need it. Allie doesn't think she needs it. But my encouraging probably doesn't do any good anyhow. So yeah.
So let's jump into the baseball. I feel like we had a lot of runs this week. It feels like a lot of these pitchers that were kind of skirting by, and you could kind of throw anybody out there for a while. Feels like there's a lot of guys that got blown up this week. I started for me earlier in the week Tuesday. I had Tyler Malley and Dylan Cease on the same day for a nice 14 earned run combo. Was sweet. But I'm trying this year to not get as worked up about it. I used to get upset about when stuff happened. I'm trying to, it's a long season, a lot of ups and downs, trying to ride the downs a little better and ride the ups a little better. Also, everybody's going to get hit by some. And I got the feeling as the week went on, kind of everybody got hit by some starting pitching meltdowns.
So I have a text string that indicates otherwise that you're not that.
That's only even keeled about it. That's only on golf bets, isn't it?
I think the Malley Cease day was, it wasn't Mito level of cursing, but despondency.
But it was more like I was like 5 minutes later, I was good. Like it used to be like, oh, the night's ruined because the guys get 14 runs. So I'm trying to avoid that at least a little bit.
That's good for you, generally speaking, especially as a proud father.
It is something I'm trying to learn. I do sometimes let things affect me too much, so I'm doing much better with that. My other, I have a couple other text chains talking about baseball. Hopefully they agree with me, because I probably used to whine more than I should have, and I'm trying to get better at that. But feels like the AL East is especially waking up. The Jays played well this weekend. I think they swept the Angels. They won five in a row, if I have that right, after today's crazy win over the Angels. I think it was 11-10, something like that. Wild back and forth game. The Red Sox now have the most runs in the American League, which is pretty wild considering a month ago we were kind of leaving them for dead. You look at their lineup: Rafael Devers, JD Martinez, and Xander Bogaerts, all hitting over .325 in a season where there have not been a lot of high batting averages. Pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And, you know, the Trevor Story woke up. Yeah, he's had a tremendous month of May. Enrique Hernandez has woken up.
Yep.
He's starting to hit. Even Christian Vasquez has a couple of nice hits in there too. So they're lengthening this lineup up. The weather's heating up too. I mean, I think there's a lot of things. The normal ebbs and flows of a season. I think, remember that batters were behind to start the year. Everybody was a little bit behind. And then I think the ball, I'm not willing to bet against the notion that the ball is somehow different than it was in April. Also,
I'm not usually, but did you watch the Reds? You probably watched the Reds Giants game when the Reds bullpen blew it yesterday.
No,
the
Peacock game where they blew it, or
no,
the other
the Mally. Oh, is that Mally? That was this morning. It was so early this morning. It was so early this morning. It felt like it was yesterday. No,
because I refuse to get Peacock Premium just to watch one baseball game. I'm sorry. And it's 8:30 on a Sunday morning. Screw you guys.
That's what I said. It felt like it was yesterday.
You know, I get it. But here's the thing. I already pay for MLB extra innings. That I shouldn't be aced out of that just because for this early
Peacock, game. Is Peacock on premium, or is it like Apple TV where you just have to sign up? And
no, it today was premium.
I know all the Apple games you have to sign up.
So I have a Peacock account, but I don't know.
That Longoria home run today was the first time where I was like, that's definitely not a home run 3 weeks ago. Like, it was kind of opposite field, and it's Evan Longoria, not Aaron Judge. That was the first one where I felt like, I was like, oh, look like a 2019 home run, where I was like, oh, it's a fly ball to right, and it was like five rows deep. So I don't know if the ball's changed. I don't know if the weather's changed. I don't know what happened, but that was the first one today where I was like, ah, that looks like one of those, like, oh, that's a pop-up. Oh, it's gone home runs.
Yeah, and, you know, it's also Great American. And right field is a really nice place to hit home runs there too. So there is that.
Yeah, I was not pleased because that was the Tyler Mahle win.
He had a no hitter going into the seventh after getting blown up by the Cubs.
It was so funny because every time I had MLB TV on, they kept cutting into that game. Every time I watched, he started batter 3-0, so I just stopped watching, and I looked up and he was throwing no hitter. I was like, clearly he's pitching much better when I'm not watching. But it was good to see a bounce back though. That first start this week was really rough. It was good to see him bounce back. On the other side of the Central Division, the AL Central, Minnesota's starting to pull away there. They got a 5-game lead on Chicago. The White Sox had another big injury today with Tim Anderson. Likely he's going on the aisle. They've said he's pretty much going on the aisle. He had a right groin strain. Looked a lot worse when he first did it. So maybe, hopefully it's not that serious. I think that's but you look at the White Sox, they're 500. They're a minus -45 run differential. Cleveland's 5-game under. The Twins are 10 over, kind of hitting a stride, winning 7 of the last 10. I wonder if they're going to run away with this before it's all said and done.
I wonder. You know, it's tough. By the way, I wanted to say one other thing, Giants related.
Oh, cool. Go.
Did you know the Giants have the worst ERA in baseball for the month of May?
It would have taken me a while to get to that one, I guess.
579.
Wow.
579 for the month of May. Now they had a Coors Field series and a Cincinnati series.
But still,
you're facing the Rockies and the Reds. You've seen these lineups already, but Colorado's second worst. Royals third, Reds fourth. I mean, there's five teams with ERAs over five for the month of May, including Arizona, which got a lot of praise for their pitching and their pitching coach early on. But things are kind of, the worm's kind of turning on that one.
I feel like all those runs have been Merrill Kelly in May, the way it's gone for him, because he was great and then has gotten lit lately.
Yeah. And defense for the Giants has been terrible. Terrible. Yeah. So I mentioned the 579 in ERA in May. The XFIP is 397. FIP is 401, so that just shows you what bad defense they're getting.
Yeah, Darren Ruff in left field is not the best idea I've ever seen.
No. I mean, platooning comes with a price. And to be fair, they're missing a bunch of guys. Belt's out right now.
Yeah.
And a number of their Lamont Wade's out. So, you know, guys are kind of maybe playing out of position a little bit, playing in suboptimal places.
Is the NL East over, Jeff?
That was a pretty big win tonight for the Mets to blow a lead and then come back. Yeah.
15 games over on the Mets, and there's no other team in the division that's over 500 right now.
Yeah, the Braves can't get out of their own way. Now, the Braves couldn't get out of their own way last year, but the Mets weren't nearly this good.
Yeah, you're right, though. The Braves got crazy hot, obviously, the last 2 months, and then rode that all the way through the third month there. But the Mets clearly look the class of the division. They are the Mets, and they're going to get stuff's going to happen. They're going to have injuries. But, I mean, they're doing this without McGill right now, doing this without DeGrom all year. It's been a pretty impressive first, whatever that is, 50 games in the season.
Yeah, they're winning all these late comebacks, too. I mean, and they're doing well coming from behind. They're getting clutch two-out hits. They're un-Metsian, very un-Metsian. Nick Plummer with the dramatics tonight there. And, you know,
I'll admit I had to look up who that was when he hit the home run.
Yeah. Yeah.
46% strikeout rate for Edwin Diaz. That'll play at any time.
You know, sometimes you can use that at that strikeout rate in the eighth inning too. You know, it's okay.
There are games where he comes in where I'm like, there is nobody in the world that's going to get hit off this guy. And there's games where he can't find the strike zone, but man, when he's on, he's as nasty as they come. It's just, it's like, it's crazy. It's like old school Kimbrel when he just came in, the game was over. It's just, he's just nasty when he's on.
I was going to make K-Rod in his best days too as a comp.
Oh, that would be, that was, as an A's fan, those days were the worst because he would come in. I just like, all right, we could do something else because this game is done. He was so nasty.
Yeah, he really was. He is, you know, I was Lugo down today. Is that why it was Ottavino in the eighth? I was kind of half paying attention because the basketball game was.
I'll admit I was mostly watching the basketball game, but probably my guess. But they scored off Knebel in the ninth, and then again in the tenth with the ghost runner, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we got a big week coming up. We have we got week nine coming up. We got 6 day games tomorrow, Jeff. Don't forget to set lineups for everybody out there. If you're listening on Monday morning, go run right now. Hit pause on us. Go set your lineups, then come back. But there are 6 day games on Monday, obviously, for Memorial Day. A lot of stuff going on. A ton of games this week. We have a team again. We have a nine game week. We have the Cubs with nine this week. If you want to stream some hitters this week, Cubs are definitely at the top of that list. We have three other teams with eight games. We have the Brewers, the Tigers, and the Twins with eight. 12 other teams with seven games. There are games all over the place. We're not going to have many down days this week, which is a lot of fun as a fan and a fantasy baseball player.
Yeah, but not everybody's playing tomorrow, which soapbox time.
Yeah.
You know, that's wrong. It's Memorial Day. Every team should play on Memorial Day.
It's just Cincy and
should be a law.
Cincy and someone else, right?
Seattle doesn't play.
And the White Sox and the Angels, those four don't.
And the Yankees.
Oh, so it must be.
There's only 12 games. There's 12 games, so six teams are.
Toronto's the 16th.
Well, they're Canadian at least, so I mean that makes sense.
But. True, and they had to travel from Anaheim to Toronto. But I agree with you. I think that everybody should play on Memorial Day and 4th of July and Labor Day, and just we should just call it that way.
I agree. Sorry, I had to get the cat from not chewing something. So
no worries. Tell Snowberry I say hi. Snow's nothing, right?
Cocoa and blueberry.
Where do I get the snow from every time?
I don't know.
Snowball? I don't know. I was looking at some offensive stream. Obviously, that you want the teams with a lot of games. But besides that, the Rockies are home all week. Always makes for a fun time and a lot of offense. They have three games against Miami, four against the Braves. So obviously, you squirt the cat. Obviously, yes.
She was trying to knock stuff off my desk. So
beautiful. A good week to have Rockies. If you could pick up some, if you played some daily leagues, this is definitely a week to pick up as many Colorado guys as you can. Three against Miami, four against the Braves. So obviously, the Braves have a good schedule. They have three against Arizona. You just mentioned Arizona pitching has been struggling mightily recently. And then four at Colorado. Braves score a lot of runs this week. If there's a week for the Braves to get going, especially on the offensive side of the ball, it's going to be this week.
Well, and they're making all sorts of adjustments too. I mean, it looks like Adam Duvall is kind of in the doghouse right now. Only two homers all season long. I mean,
pretty wild. The dude led the majors in RBI last year, and all of a sudden here we are.
And you know, he was one of those perceived bargains in drafts. Yep. I might have mentioned him as a bargain and got him in some places, but yeah, they go at Arizona, at Colorado for four. I mean, that's as pretty good as it gets, and you know. One of the Arizona games is Castellanos, who just got roped by the Dodgers last time out. The other two are Gallen and Bumgarner. That may not be as great, but
yeah, they do get Gallen. But then you go to Colorado, they get Cool, who's pitched pretty well. Gomber, who just got Gomberless last week. Freeland, who got hurt today, and Germán Márquez, who's funny enough, Márquez is I think like 96% owned in the main event. He was dropped in one of my main events, and I was like, oh, maybe I need some strikeouts. He pitches twice this week. Then I looked at Germán Márquez's Fangraphs page, and I just ran away. Like I figured, like maybe we're gonna get some strikeouts. I understand there's some risks for some ERA and runs, but Strikeout rate's at 18%. ERA's at 6.3. The WHIP's at 1.6. I couldn't do it, no matter what the starts look like or what needing strikeouts. I couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, he's getting gombered before it was cool. But you know, segueing into the Braves back again here, Mr. Grouch asked about Michael Harris. Yes, it is Michael Harris week. You don't call up the number 14 prospect in baseball, whatever ranking system you use. I'm using James Anderson, our guy.
I hadn't looked over at the chat. I thought you were calling me Mr. Grouch for some reason. I was like, what did I do? What did I do?
I identify with that. I get that. I appreciate that.
I was like,
but
wow, I wasn't even that grouchy so far.
No, not yet. Not yet. Wait till the Warriors lose a game first before you get that. Yeah, but seriously, they may not. How pumped are you for this? I am. Sorry. I was going to say, go ahead and say that, and then we'll get back to Michael Harris. Go ahead.
I am quite pumped. I'm excited. I love this Warriors team. I love all the stuff, all the injuries, them, all the comments that never get back here. It's just been a lot of fun to have this run. I think Boston is the toughest possible matchup just from an X's and O's perspective for the Warriors, mm-hmm. the way they play. I think they're kind of like Memphis with an extra scorer, which is really frightening because Memphis matches up really well against the Warriors. They got a rim protector. They got someone, obviously, they got defensive player of the year that can kind of chase Steph around for 40 minutes. I think it's going to have to be, I think Jordan Poole's going to have to play well. And I think Draymond's got to be smart is kind of what it comes down to. And that's always touch and go.
Yeah. Agreed.
But Warriors Celtics, like that's a great, great match.
That's a great series.
Great franchises that the Warriors played Cleveland so many times in Toronto. It's fun to play someone different. I think it's gonna be a really fun matchup.
Yeah. I agreed. I'm looking forward to it.
We will get to Michael Harris in 1 second when we do Fab. We're just about right there. We're going to talk about a lot of outfielders on Fab. Yeah. A couple other teams real quick. Miami's got a good schedule. They got 3 at Colorado, 4 against the Giants. You mentioned the Giants ERA in May. I didn't know it had been quite that bad. I know they've been struggling. But so Miami hitters might be a good week here. And the Dodgers hitters, there's probably not many available. If you could snag some Edwin Rios, maybe. They have 7 home games this week, 3 against Pittsburgh, 4 against the Mets. Should be another nice week for the probably the best team in baseball. And them are the Yankees, I guess, right?
Yeah. Those two, I think, I know the Astros struggled some this week, but the Astros are right there. Yeah. I think,
and I guess we gotta start putting the Mets close in that mix. I'm not ready.
I think the Mets have entered the chat, and yeah. I think the Rays, I think they have a login and password too, to this chat. I mean, they rallied. I mean, they got shut down Thursday and Friday by the Yankees. You're kind of like, oh, the Yankees are going to pull away now. And then the Rays turned around and won yesterday and today. So, big split for them.
The AL East down the stretch is going to be a blood.
Yeah, and now Boston's playing well. Well, mostly playing well.
They're hitting well.
Bullpen not included.
It's frightening. You got a pitcher there. They're up 6-0 in the seventh. You don't feel good about a win. It's crazy. They're just a mess. They need if it were me, I'd put Chris Sale back there, but I know they won't do it. But that's what I would do.
But they've been talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't talked about it. I did the Friday Night Observations article this week. And mentioned that you can see why they're contemplating that. They blew a 6-0 and 8-2 lead in that game. Lost 12-8.
And that's to Baltimore, right?
To Baltimore. Yeah. 12-8. They gave up 10 of those runs were to the bullpen. I think Whitlock only gave up 2. And there's some doubt about Whitlock starting still because of stamina and all that. They may I think it'll probably be easier to add bullpen pieces in the trade market than a starter that can replace Whitlock, but you can see they need 2 more pitchers easily.
Can I interest you in a shiny Lou Trevino?
I'm looking to cut him in my leagues right now.
I'm surprised you haven't. He's horrible.
Yeah, he is. Yes.
That the days of him getting saves are gone.
Agreed. Although didn't Menace blow it today though?
He did. He ended up getting the win, but yeah, he did blow the save. It was only a 1-run lead, but Trevino, just every time he comes in, he walks guys. It's a mess. He's they would love him to have that job and kind of showcase him a little bit, but I don't think any team's gonna be fooled by that anymore. I think the trade market is gonzo for Trevino, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have Hawk Harrelson trading for closers anymore. So
I just don't see it's gonna be happening. But let's jump into Fab. I want to start with the offensive side first. I thought it was the much more interesting side in this week. There were a lot of interesting outfielders to the point that there were so many that I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna kind of put all of them a little bit lower. As long as I get 1 or 2 of them, I'm good with that. So I wasn't kind of focusing in on anybody. But since someone asked about Michael Harris, let's talk about Michael Harris first. He was called up by the Braves. Did hit ninth, so that's a little bit of an issue. How do you feel about him going forward? I know that you guys, you and Tim Schuler, won him in a spot. How do you feel about his playing time, sticking around? Obviously, the stolen bases are the key here. But what caused you to go for Harris?
Well, I mean, in James Anderson, I trust, first of all. He's over the moon for him. Although I don't know about this year. I should qualify that. In his prospect rankings, he's number 14 overall. Power and speed possibilities here. The fact that they called him up straight from AA indicates that he's here, unless he pulls a Kelnick, that he's here to stay. I don't think you call him up just to stop at gap, but nonetheless, it's a course field. We talked about it. It's a great week for him too.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. Like, does he sit against any lefties? Is that a possibility? If so, that could be a problem. You know, that might be the one thing that you worry about just a little bit. Looking at the Braves schedule this week, left-hander wise, they got Mad Bum, Gomber, and maybe Freeland. So we'll see about that. But
and the one issue they do have, and it's kind of an interesting one, is that William Contreras is DHing and playing a little bit outfield. So there's kind of one less spot if they keep that up, because they've been trying to get him and his bat in the lineup and Darnell's glove in the lineup. So it'd be interesting to see if that sticks. I don't know how long they'll stick for, but
that's why Duvall's at risk here too, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, Duvall's kind of a bench guy right now. He's probably a platoon against lefties at the moment.
But you got to figure Acuna is going to get a day here or there.
I think more often than here. I think they're going to make sure to give him maybe not once a week, but maybe, you know, three every 2 weeks sort of thing.
Yeah.
Two every 3 weeks. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I think they'll manage him. Well, and the fact is, their hand's been forced. He's already had a quad and a groin issue. Now, I wonder how much of that is also just, how much of that is also part of like them managing him is like, oh, well, he's got a quad. We're going to give him 2 days or something like that. He's got a hangnail. We're going to give him a day. He's got a toenail, ingrown toenail. We got to give him 3 days.
I think they're definitely going to manage him. I agree with you. I think that it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously Harris had 27 stolen bases last year in what was that? In a high A ball. So, I mean, I think that you're looking for the stolen bases. You're hoping for a decent batting average. If a little pop comes along, that'd be nice too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
What about some of these other rookie bats first? Since we're kind of talking rookies, there was Cal Mitchell got called up by the Pirates. Christopher Morel got called up and was leading off for the Cubs. Oscar Gonzalez, who, when I looked at him, like a lot of pop for the Guardians, he got called up. Obviously, that's because Fran Mel Reyes is out. What were you doing outside of Harris? Were there any of these guys were your favorite? How are you kind of ranking these dudes?
Morel, Gonzalez, I think those were the next two on my list. I think, although if Tyrone Taylor is available, I was aggressive on him too.
I was coming back to him because he's not technically a rookie, I don't think, but I was just thinking of the rookie.
Oh, just the rookies, yeah.
Yeah, I do like Tyrone Taylor, but I looked at Oscar Gonzalez. I mean, that 31 home runs last year in the minors. I just don't know how playing time is going to work there.
Right.
I had Morel first, let off the last couple days for the Cubs.
Three stolen bases already. Yeah. Yep.
Three steals already. He was 18 home runs, 18 stolen bases in the minors last year. So there's a speed power combo guy for sure. Strikeout rates are a little bit high, and that's probably going to be a concern coming into the majors. But I don't know. You give me a guy that's leading off with some speed and power. That's pretty workable right there.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
Were you in on Cal Mitchell at all getting called up by the Pirates?
He was in my waterfall, if you will, the James Anderson term. After talking to James Anderson, I was like, I don't know much about him, but James kind of likes him. So let's make sure we get him. The team context is but
it is.
You know, if Reynolds starts hitting and Mitchell is competent, and then they call up O'Neill Cruz, all of a sudden maybe that top half of the lineup's not terrible anymore.
I like the lack of strikeouts with Mitchell. There's some pop. I don't think we're getting a ton here, but he's 15 home runs in 2019, 12 in 2021 in the minors, but strikeout rates under 20% in 2021. I'm doing the math real quick, but about 17.5%, something like that. I do like that hit for average. I think it's hard to find guys like that. A little bit of speed. He had 6 stolen bases so far in 34 games a year in AAA. I kind of like this one as a maybe not a huge ceiling, but a better floor than some of the other rookies. So I was in on Mitchell kind of right after Morel.
Yeah, that's maybe that. And, you know, you probably got him. I'm guessing.
I did. I was surprised there was no. I had no backup bid. I only bid. I was low. I was like $14 or something for him. But I do like that. Last week I picked up Trevor Larnach in the same boat. Kind of $12, no backup. Hit 3 home runs this week, so I'm hoping to kind of roll into some hot fire again there.
Yeah, I kind of like it there, and I didn't get him. I mean, I got Harris in one league, so
how much? How much did you pay for Harris?
I paid 119. Actually, originally bid 79, and I talked you into bidding it up because we were like second in Fab remaining with over 700 in Fab.
What was the backup? Did you was it good
55? I could have won with the 79, unfortunately, but yeah,
wild. It shows the disparity here in my leagues. He went for 12-1 and 288 in the other.
12 in 12. In a 15 team mixer.
12 huh? In my online main event. He went for $12 with no backup, or 14, sorry, with no backup. I was very surprised that was the case. I was surprised on Mitchell too. I thought there'd be a little bit of action. I thought Harris would be more popular based on the stolen bases, but Kyle Lewis is available there, but Morel was not, and Tyrone Taylor was not either. So I thought there'd be more action considering those two guys were not there.
For sure. Yeah.
Victor Robles actually went for more than Mitchell and Harris.
So the other one, Harris went for 154. We bid like 74 or something like that. And then Morel was my number two. I bid 49. He went for 62. And then we got Nico Suave Horner for 49 instead because we didn't need an outfielder. We just needed a hitter.
Here's a nickname I like.
Thank you.
It's 10 o'clock and I'm 3 hours late. I never said it was a prompt date.
Nice.
That's a little Rico Suave for you there. Yeah. Someone in the chat asking about Anthony Santander. Could he have a really good week? Sure. They play 7 games this week. I'm just always okay on him. Hard contact's just kind of fine. Strikeout's kind of fine. He does walk a lot. I don't know. I think he's like a 20 home run, 230, 235, 240 kind of guy. A little bit probably by the new Camden Yards, but I'm fine with him. I think he should be rostered in a 15, streamer in a 12, something like that.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I agree. I like him. I like him.
Someone else, same guy asked if Byron Buxton could heat up. I think he definitely can heat up. I think he definitely will heat up. Still hitting the ball really hard. I wouldn't worry too much. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I think he'll heat up. But
is he fully healthy is the question right now.
Yeah. And, we're talking about Acuna being managed. The Twins are taking that to that level too. And you're talking about the Twins pulling away a little bit. They may have the luxury of managing him a little bit more. He's really been cold in the last month.
That's put it mildly. He's 158, 12 for 76 in May before today.
That's suboptimal.
And he was 1 for 5 today, so it did not get much better. But it's been really rough. Strikeout rate is up a little bit, but only about 2%. I still think it's gonna be fine. His BABIP's 182 right now. He's fast. That's gonna move up. I think that if I were in a trade league, I'd certainly try to trade for him. But I don't think his roster guy will trade for him. We'll trade him away at the moment.
Yeah. Scott, I think the chat room's trolling you. We got back-to-back questions on Victor Robles, including Anthony Gialdi. But, I know you love him so much, but
he had a 6 RBI game, and I'd bet against him having 6 RBIs the next 3 weeks.
I'd agree. But he's now got – I think he's up to 5 stolen bases after we were trolling him for having 1 for a really long time.
He stole 2 today. I think that if you're picking him up as a pure stolen base play – then I think that's workable. And I think we talked about him preseason. I was like, I still don't think mm-hmm. he's good, but at the new price, I thought he was a fine pick if you wanted to, gamble on some steals. If you want to play him as a stolen base guy, you don't count on power, don't count on batting average. I think it's fine. But I mean, he's still striking out 28% of the time. His hard contact is among the absolute dregs of the majors, with the rabbit type guys that don't hit for any power. I just don't think he's a good hitter. His home run went down the line, went like 332 feet. He can't hit. He can't hit, but he's really fast. He's a good defender. Has value in real baseball. Has a little bit of value in fantasy for steals. But as long as it's that, that's no reason.
Jorge Mateo or Victor Robles?
Jorge
Mateo. Death is not an option.
I don't think Jorge Mateo is a good hitter, but Jorge Mateo, he's got green light. He's running wild. He's on the Orioles. They don't care. What's he got? He's got 13 steals already. I think it's pretty easy call. I don't think he's a good hitter. His OBP is 244. At some point, that's going to hurt the Orioles, but I don't think they really care right now. Kind of like the old school when they let Jonathan Villar run wild that year. I think they just let Mateo have a green light and try and steal 40 bags.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. For that matter, though, I kind of think that the Nats don't care either. I mean, hell, they're giving Alcides Escobar ample playing time.
That's a fair point. Robles is hitting ninth. Mateo, I think, hits eighth or ninth too a bunch. So, I don't love either guy, but I think in fantasy, I'd rather have Mateo if I had to pick.
I think I would too. I mean, you have the Robles starting point. I think that's also part of the problem there too with him. You're kind of, kind of predisposed to not like him. Scott's not mad at you, Anthony. Yeah, I'm the one that was kind of tweaking him around this one. He goes, one day I'll ask about someone. Scott won't be mad at me. I'm the one that kind of is trying
Anthony's
to get bored.
Anthony's a tough guy to be mad at. He's way too likable to be mad about anything. So never mad. You're totally good. What'd you do with Kyle Lewis this week, Jeff? He came back from the injured reserve. He played four games, sat today. There's a little bit of worry that he got scratched late, but Scott Service pretty much said, I'm just giving him a day. No issues so far. What do you think about Lewis? He's a guy that, you know, won the Rookie of the Year in 2020. That shortened season had a really good year, 11 home runs, 5 stolen bases. Was pretty quiet last year, but he got hurt pretty early on. He only played 36 games, didn't do much then, but clearly got some pop. His barrel rate's always really high. It's over 13% for his career, so really high barrel rate, really impressive there. Were you in on Kyle Lewis now that it seems like he's got a full-time job. He's going to be playing almost every day, a little bit less probably because they'll kind of manage him a little bit also.
I was in on him, but we dialed back the bid a little bit after the scratch, just because I know he says it's just a day, but injury optimism has sunk a lot of ships.
That little seed of doubt is it does matter.
And frankly, I don't think Scott Service has earned being in the circle of trust either.
Right.
He was available in both my mains, though. Lewis was in on our bids.
What was his pricing end up at?
71/55 and 71/37. So 71 was a very popular number for him. You're more around the 55-57 range, I think.
I was mildly aggressive. I was at 42. I was the backup bid, but he went for 79. So I wasn't really all that close at the end. And I'm kind of okay with that. I wasn't paying 80 for him. So I was kind of good moving on with that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What about Cole Calhoun in Texas? I know he was he's finally taken most main events, but he was still 54% rostered in the RotoWire Online Championship. That's the 12-team version. Dude's been on fire for a couple weeks here, like changed stuff in his swing. But you look at some of his metrics. He's at 50.5% hard hit right now, 13% barrel rate. The strikeout rate's up a little bit, but it's still 25%. You can work with that in this this day and age. 7 home runs already this year. Are you on the Cole Calhoun resurgence at all?
Yeah, I was. He's in on my bids, and in fact, I have one that hasn't run yet that I hope to get him. So yeah, for sure.
Jeff picked him up 2 weeks ago, and it has worked out quite nicely.
Nice. Well done.
Picked him in the main event a couple weeks ago, and that was every once in a while you catch a heater, and I'm going to have to be very careful to try and not catch the cooler part of that run too, because I know it's coming. But he's hitting the middle of the lineup too, and he's hitting behind some good hitters. Marcus Semien has not gotten going yet. Of course, hit a grand slam against the A's this week, which I found great. But he kind of always is going to come back and own us, which is fully his right. He should do so. But hitting in a good spot lineup in a decent least top half of that lineup. I know it's not really a long lineup, but I don't know. I think that's he's a 15 team play and a 12 teamer. If I need to stream him, I think that'd be all right. Also.
That Texas-Oakland game today just set baseball back 10 years. It was just the Rangers so make bad.
4 errors? 5 errors?
5. 5 errors.
So bad. It was rough. It was hard to watch. I found myself watching the Toronto Angels game kind of instead, and I put the sound on that one because it was much more interesting. And
oh yeah,
of course, then the A's walk it off. Jed Lowry got a hit, which was kind of fun. But they're just they're tough.
Building for the future. Yay!
They're tough to watch. They're just kind of boring, which is the problem. Like I'm okay with losing if you're interesting, but they lose and they're boring. It's not great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our Reds have the same problem.
Playing a little better recently.
Yeah, as Joe Sheehan pointed out in his newsletter today, since like May 8th, they were 13-8, second best in the National League. Should have been 14-8, but then they blew the league. Art Warren, every time you think he's this close to getting like saves again and being decent, he blows one. I
looked today too, and I couldn't believe his ERA is like 6.3 or something like that. He's not been very good the whole time.
I think the very best decision I made all season long in fantasy baseball is practicing avoidance in the Reds bullpen.
It's funny because I've asked you about the Reds bullpen like 10 times. Every time you're like, just don't do it. It's going to be fluid the whole year. And I stayed away too. I just haven't even messed with it because I listened to you on that, figured you knew what you were talking about. And it's been once.
Yeah.
It only takes once.
Yeah.
But I didn't draft any of them. I haven't picked them up. I just kind of haven't even messed with them. I just figured it's going to be frustrating. Hunter Strickland came in and got a save this week earlier. I just don't want to mess with it.
Yeah. Hey, Lucas Sims is available. Oh, he's hurt again. And
none of them are like so shut down enough that like even if they throw good innings, you're fine. Like you're going to have to get saves from those guys, and I just don't think you can bank on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about outside the outfield? What'd you do with some of these corner infielders? Edwin Rios, G-Man Choi. G-Man Choi's back, and I think they get five righties this week. Edwin Rios is playing a lot for the Dodgers. Obviously, it's a really, really good lineup. He's someone that has always hit the ball hard and has always kind of struggled to get playing time. But, you know, Max Muncy went on the IL. Cody Bellinger's a little banged up. Justin Turner's struggling. Were you aggressive at all on Edwin Rios? Maybe this is the time that he's going to start to play almost every day.
I love Edwin Rios. If he were on another organization, we'd be hearing a hell of a lot more about this guy. He, you know, as much as we love Juan Yepez and his story, Edwin Rios is a better prospect than Juan Yepez. And if you were on another organization where they needed him to play every day, we'd be loving Edwin Rios right now.
You look at career numbers about, you know, he's only played 107 games, 207 plate appearances, but 47.5% hard hit rate, 15.6% barrel. He does strike out a lot. That's going to be the one issue here. I think that batting average is going to be an issue. He's striking out 39% of the time so far this year. He was 30% last year, 22% in 2020. Granted, these are kind of up and downs. He hasn't really gotten full playing time, and he's kind of, you know, it's hard to hit when you're not playing every day. You look at the minors though, and he'll still got a decent amount there. I like him though. I think anybody that hits the ball is hard in this lineup. I was in on it. I got him in one of my main events for 33, and I'm happy to roll him out this week.
Yeah, you should. Take advantage of this. He even, you know, he homered against the lefty this weekend, which you gotta love. You know, batting ninth, don't love, but still, I mean, batting ninth in the Dodgers is like batting sixth on a lot of other lineup really spots. Is. I mean, the way they're rolling right now, especially, they just keep turning that roster over and over. Hey, and good news, if you get on, you're second leadoff hitter. You're in front of all these good hitters. So,
are the top three of that lineup any good?
I don't know. Mookie is just on fire. I love
seeing it. He had his streak snapped. He had scored a run in 15 straight games before today, which is bonkers. Ooh. I think he still has more runs than games played, though, which is more than games the Dodgers have played, too. It's funny because we talked about him. We're like, oh, you can take him in the first round. You're not going to get huge power, but, you know, runs count, runs matter. Freeman and Turner behind him. I tell you what, he's got a chance to score 150 runs this year.
Tout Wars is running a Memorial Day draft, Memorial Day weekend mock draft, second chances. They're not doing the second chance league this year in the NFBC.
Can I guess where he went? Did he go already or not yet?
Yeah, they're in like the 15th round. So
okay. Did he go fourth?
Sixth. And Joe Sheehan was ecstatic to get him sixth. Yeah.
Trout
went five.
Trout went five. All right. I think I'd go Mookie, but I wouldn't argue hard either way on that.
No pitchers in the first round also. Now, so keep in mind, it's not an NFBC draft. So that's going to switch things a little bit, but
yeah,
Burns, who do you feel good about in the first round right now? Pitcher wise?
I still do with Cole.
Okay. Fair. But you can see other people don't, right?
I can see other people don't. I think other people are a bit ridiculous with that. I mean, Cole's at 312-104 and he's kind of struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's got 72 strikeouts in 57 innings.
Yeah.
And he goes out there every fifth day for let's call him the best team in the American League, just to be not piss off the Dodger fans. But he hasn't been as great as we want him to be, and his numbers are still awesome. Like, I think that he's gonna run off a crazy run. I think it's just a Yankees thing. Like, Yankees fans don't like him. I think he should have a 1 ERA and win 34 games. I'd still go Cole in the first round.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But
I do get it.
And I see the emotional response. And if you're a Yankees fan, I can definitely see it, especially given how how he's faltered down the stretch and then got beat by the Red Sox in the play-in game last year. I can see it.
I get it. And I get more than anything, I get the desire to just go offense in the first round and not and just get a stud offensive player. Who are the do you know who the top four were? Was Acuna in the top four or no?
Yes, he was. Okay. He was four. I think Soto was still three.
Obviously Trey Turner.
Yeah. And then I'm blanking on Jose Ramirez, of course.
Okay. I was gonna say not Vlad for sure. So Jose Ramirez. All right.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez is still a stud.
Yeah, awesome.
No regrets on any league where I picked him first.
Soto's the interesting one there because, I mean, the dude is unbelievable, but he has 16 RBIs and he's in a lineup that is just brutal.
He hit a two-run homer today.
I know. I was surprised he did with the guys on base. He's at 228, though. I mean, that's going to turn around, obviously, but I still think I'd go him up there, but I think I'd go Betts. I think I'd go Betts ahead of him right now.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Trout versus Trout is just – dialed in right now, but he isn't going to run at all.
That homer to center off Merriweather, I think it was last night. That was like an outside fastball at 97. He just destroyed it center field. Like, that's just, he's insane.
When he's on, he's just, oh, it's such a joy to watch.
But you're right on the stolen bases. I mean, I think that we're looking at a elite power hitter, but not a power speed guy. And that matters for the game that we play here.
And the funny thing is, he's not slow. He just doesn't run. They're just like, steal a base. You're going to get hurt. Don't do it.
Hasn't attempted to steal all year. So, I mean, that's, it's very real. But everything else is certainly elite Trout as long as he's healthy.
Yep.
A couple other guys I'm going to ask you before we move on. Joey Wendell and John Birdie, kind of in the middle infield, multi-position eligibility. Wendell, if you need batting average. Birdie, if you need steals. Were you in on either of these cats?
Wendell, I kept. And kept on the roster in our one of our two main event leagues. We actually had to take a zero 1 week.
Did you draft and kept?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
I mean, I like his all around position eligibility. He does a little bit of power, gets you some speed, won't hurt you with batting average. It's just the platoon thing kind of is a scary part with him.
Yeah. Led off all weekend. I think some of that was Jazz being out, but Jazz played today and Birdie still led off. I picked him up in both leagues. I like the second and third. We've talked about that before. That someone that can get you, you know, middle and corner, which is obviously huge. Stolen bases are any stolen base scraps I could pick up. I'm always willing to do so. I think he's a nice bench guy that I can rotate in. You know, kind of based
which
on
which player are you talking about, Birdie or Wendell?
Birdie.
Okay, so Wendell is who I was talking about.
I'm sorry. You kept Wendell. I got you.
Yeah.
I actually like both guys. I think that Wendell's hit .282, four steals, two home runs. Also. I like both guys. I think both are definitely usable, especially in a deeper league. Both cover middle and corner, so it kind of works for both of them. Wendell's probably a little more pop and a better average, and Birdie's probably more steals if I had to kind of separate them out.
Birdie can have a birdie week, and Wendell is just going to be a kind of a steady Eddie type of guy. And Birdie, I remember was it 3 years ago where he just went nuts for a week?
Yeah. I think it felt like it was longer than that. It might have been for a month, but he had 17 steals in half a year in 2019. Threw in six home runs too. I think that's a lot of happy fun ball there. I don't think we're gonna get power again from him, but I don't know. 17 steals in half a year prorates pretty well to being able to swipe some bags. And again, I think Florida let him go, let him run a little bit. So I like both guys. I think both are, if they're available and you're playing a deeper league, I think both need to definitely rosterable.
Yeah. By the way, while we were talking, I won another share of Michael Harris in a scarf.
Nice.
111 to 65.
Beautiful. Well done. Real quick, let's get over to pitchers now with Fab. But first, a note from our sponsors at Blue Wire.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thank you to our Blue Wire sponsors there. Starting pitching, Jeff, I thought was way less interesting this week than offense, at least in the 15-teamers. The 12-teamers I actually thought were interesting in pitching. You had Spencer Strider in Atlanta. You had Ronzi Contreras in Pittsburgh. Jeffrey Springs in Tampa Bay. All really interesting names that were about 50 to 60% rostered in 12s. There was a little bit of Aaron Ashby in 12s, but he was 90% rostered. Of Strider, Contreras, and Springs, which one do you like the most? I had a couple 12-teamers where all of them were available.
Springs. I was in on Springs.
I started with Strider, and I actually moved to Springs. So I'm glad to hear that. I like to hear it.
Springs, Strider, Ronzi. And I was on Ronzi in the drafts, but command's not there for Ronzi. I see him like being a 5-inning guy for a while, and
it's been pretty well this week. But you're right. The walks are an issue.
He got rocky road, and Nick Pollock did a really good breakdown on him, on his debut against the Rockies, the season debut against the Rockies. He just showed that the slider isn't that great. Yeah. His command isn't that great. So he's going to run into some, he did fine against the Rockies and against the Padres without Tatis or Machado. In Petco. So I'm just kind of like, he's on my, again, on my list, but not my priority. Springs went 6 against the Yankees. Yeah. Got strikeouts. I mean,
that's a movement of Springs. It was 5 2/3 and 6 the last two outings. And I looked at Strider, and Strider's awesome. Dude's a stud. And he's starting this week, which was why everybody was jumping on back over there. But he still threw, I think he threw 46 pitches last outing. He's thrown over 60 twice, but it was like 5 outings ago. So last 5 outings, he hasn't topped 46 pitches. So I don't think you're going to get more than, I picked him up in a league because I got outbid on Springs and I got Strider instead. But I don't think you're getting more than, it's hard for me to see him going more than 4 innings in either start.
And Strider was held in a lot of leagues. Remember, he went for triple digits. And I guarantee
he was available in almost no 15 teamers.
And that thing is, I guarantee you there's that effect. I spent this money on him.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna get rid of him now.
Wait. He's been really good too. It's just the role's been a little bit frustrating, right. But it's still a 39% strikeout rate, 2.22 ERA in 24 innings. I just wonder, I just wish he had an opener in front of him to try and get some wins, because I think his wins are going to be really tough for him, at least for a while.
Yeah, I agree. And I like him a lot. I just think it was really rich that we got teased that he was going to start, and then he went a week without pitching after that 4-inning thing, and then threw 1 inning, like 1 2/3, 2, and then back to 1. It's like, okay, you guys are such teases.
He's at Arizona start the week, and then if you want to use him, he's at Colorado the second half of the week. So that would be that could be an interesting one.
Yeah, could very.
Are
well
you
could.
Are you a big Aaron Ashby guy now that he's in the rotation? For Freddie Peralta, he was 90% rostered in 12 teams. He was not available in many leagues. I imagine he'll go for some high bids. I worry about the walks with him. They have been pretty high so far. 13.5% walk rate in his 34 innings. Granted, they've kind of been all over the place, but it was a little worried for me. I think there are going to be some issues with the walks that might get him in some big innings.
Right. That. And I think the other factor is, and I know he's on our list, we're going to talk about him. Might as well bring him up now, is Ethan Small making a start tomorrow. They're going to go 6-man for now, but it's Small. At some point they may want to pivot back to a 5-man. And, that's, if they do, it's Ashby versus Hauser versus Small. And we'll see who deserves it more.
Small has been very good. He's another guy that has some walk issues, but he's never had an ERA over 2.06 in any of his minor league seasons. He is 25, first-round draft pick in 2019. It was the 28th overall pick. He's been really good in the minors. I mean, 1.8 ERA, 1.12 whip, but that 30% walk rate, it's going to be interesting to see if that really affects him in the majors more than it will. He can, in the minors, probably walk a guy and then strike a bunch of guys out and get himself out of trouble. That's obviously tougher in the majors, but he'll be fun to watch. He's pitching tomorrow, right?
Yeah, and it's a doubleheader tomorrow at the Cubs. So keep in mind, it might be he pitches one game and gets sent back down.
I
think they called him up today, though, was the interesting part. They didn't, call him up as part of, the 27th man thing.
Yeah.
So to me, that indicates a willingness that they might go ahead and use him.
That's a fun doubleheader of lefties going for the Brewers tomorrow.
Yeah, well, at Small, Ashby, Lauer, boom, 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 3 in a row.
And then you have the downstep. You get to face Woodruff, who him and his 5 ERA, it's probably taking a break.
Yeah, what a letdown. Now, Woodruff, are you worried about Woodruff at all?
You know, if I took him in the first round, I probably wouldn't be overly pleased with it. But
no,
I think I'm looking at his numbers here. You know, there's not that much different than last year, so I'm really not. BABIP's a little higher. His strand rate's really low. It's 65%. That's going to normalize a little bit. Less ground balls, a little bit of a concern, but you can still look. His strikeout rate is a little bit down, but the same. Walk rate's a little bit up, but pretty close to the same. I'm not that worried, to be honest.
Yeah.
At a 4.74 through 43 innings, if I had him, I'm upset, but I think you're gonna get a pretty good run here at some point this season.
Velocity's down almost a mile an hour. Yeah. That's a little bothersome. FIP is almost a run higher. You know, actual ERA is a little concerning there too. Walks are a little up. There's just enough a nag, but not like alarm bells.
Here. Everything's a little bit worse or lower, but not enough where I'm super concerned as of yet. Hard hit rate's up 10%. That's a little bit of a thing for me.
Batman. Did you see the home road splits with him?
No. Where's he worse?
Away by far. Okay. 814 on the road, 159 at home. 181 whip, 0.71 is your split.
Funny, I was looking at you. I kind of expected to see like a one like nine inning start. I guess he gave up seven the first game at Wrigley, but then four against Pittsburgh, five against our Reds. But last two starts have been good on the road against Miami and St. Louis. I don't know. You look at the last three starts, 1-1-2, but he only went four innings in one of those starts. Yeah. I'm still okay, but he hasn't pitched more than six innings in a start yet, which is kind of problematic also.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Request to ask about, to talk about Michael Swarmer, who's pitching the second half of the doubleheader. He's a 28-year-old who spent the last 3 years in AAA. Amazing year, but
I think it's Matt Swarmer.
Yeah. Did I say Michael? Yeah.
I think Matt. So. I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot about him. I saw the name come up when they were going to say they're going to start him. I know he's been good so far this year in AAA, but I saw he was really bad last year in AAA and I kind of lost interest pretty quick.
Yeah. He might be fine because it's a one-off and who knows, you know, they might not have much of a scouting report, you know, lightning bottle, et cetera, but.
Yeah. I saw 21 AAA and I kind of just, I was not interested. Someone else asked about, Zach Plese. Like, is he a bust this year? I think Zach Plese was a good bust last year and is not relevant this year.
If you drafted him, you're the bust.
Yeah. There's nothing about him that interests me. His strikeout rate's under 15%, and it's been under 19% in three of his four seasons. I think that as we move along here, 2020 looks like just the crazy outlier on Zach Plesac as a career. Never been anywhere near those numbers, and that was 55 innings. I'm guessing we wouldn't have seen that whole season go that way. I'm just not interested, and he seems like kind of a jerk anyway, so I'm good.
All right, moving on.
Any of the two-step pitchers this week? I thought they were really tough this week. There was like Eric Fetty, Patrick Corbin, Glenn Otto in Texas pitched well last start. He gets two home starts against Tampa Bay and Seattle. It's mildly interesting there. Our old friend Ryan Yarbrough faces Texas and the White Sox. Were any two-start guys this week that you found yourself, bumping up a little bit because they had the second start?
I talked myself into Devin Smeltzer. I know he's I think we talked about him off air.
Yeah.
He's fool's gold, but he faces the Tigers this week. So in the first of his two starts, so I'll be that fool. I grabbed him in one league. I'm just gonna go ahead and use him and move on now.
Do we know when Joe Ryan's coming back? We don't, right?
We don't. He's supposedly getting better from COVID, and yes, that is an issue too. That I might get one start, but to be honest, Scott, one start's just fine.
Yeah.
Because the second starts at Toronto and. Yeah. But I'll take him for this one start. I will. I'll take him.
And Sonny Gray, he hurt his left with a sore pectoral, so we don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna get that second Devin Smeltzer start now that it's kind of the Ryan and Gray have been kind of cleared out of that. I think you're gonna get that second start at Toronto.
Gray's fine. He's fine. He's gonna be fine.
I don't know if you want it or not, but
yeah.
Interesting comment by Paul Spohr in the chat. He said 2020 isn't the season. It really doesn't matter that much in the grand scheme. I think I fully agree with that. It's amazing how many we're seeing that when you only play 2 months, the outliers are all over the place. When you see,
well, yeah, I agree. It's there. 2 months, and then the AL Central, NL Central only schedule, and no fans, and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, yeah, agreed.
100%. Please act like a perfect example of that. You look at, like, you have 3 years that are very similar. You have that 1 2-month stretch that looks so different, but it's, sticks out as a full year when you look at stats and just the way it is. And you just have to remember that was 55 innings where you just got hot at the right time.
2020 is to pitchers as 2019 and happy fun ball is to hitters.
Yeah, that's very true there. Any relief pitchers? We talked about the Reds. We have no interest. Were you in any of the Tampa Bay guys? JP Fireisen is still not giving up a run yet this year. Colin Pache got a couple saves this week. Any relievers? It feels like the last two or three weeks that we've talked about, there have not been, you know, we talk about early in drafting, like it all be a revolving door all this time, but there's not been much revolving through the door over the last 3 weeks or so.
No, it's been hard to find them. Cole Sulcer, Miami. Yep. That's the one guy that I put some bids on. I don't think I got him anywhere, but he was a guy, at least I was thinking about it. And Main Event 2, the online one, he was definitely like, he was someone I was looking at. He was actually our first choice, but we didn't get him. We got outbid on him. That's where we're hurting for saves. Thank God for Clay Holmes. Thank God without a time machine, though, so I couldn't have them active before this past week.
Still, he had, what, two or three saves this week.
He's a golden god so far. We like him.
Yeah, he is really good. That's awesome you guys have him in the main event. Sulcer's probably the guy there. I think it's another situation we don't know, but at least he has a 28% strikeout rate. He's been pretty good so far. Dylan Floro, 1.2 Ks per nine so far in his seven per third and a third. That's not great.
No, it's not great at all, Bob. Sulcer, we had a bit on Pache. I think in one league I cut Fireisen just because I needed room to pick up another hitter, because friends and family, I've got the same, you know, just injury, rash of injuries.
Did have a win and a save this week and still hasn't given up a run. K-minus walks about 27%, but again, it's the Rays. Like, it just, he's going to pitch the six next time out. It's just, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. I like the Super Bowl sweatshirt there, by the way. That's nice.
Oh, thank you.
I just noticed that. We've only been talking for 52 minutes, and I just noticed that.
Yeah.
Couple other questions in the chat. Someone asked about Devin Williams. I love Devin Williams as a real baseball player, and I love Devin Williams when Josh Hader's not around. But Devin Williams walks a few too many guys and does not get saves with Josh Hader there. I think he's a deeper league guy if you need some ratios and strikeouts, but kind of streamable as you need by week.
Yeah. By the way, in a 12, Emilio Pagan was available. Did get him.
So here, my issue, and it's a good issue to have, is I have my ninth spot every week in the main event is either Pagan, Tanner Rainey, or Paul Sewald, and I'm really struggling figuring out who the heck to start every week.
I mean, do you need saves or do you need the best pitcher?
Well, I always need saves, but I like some good pitching also. But yeah, it was funny because I do it. And I used Pagan this week. He had a win and a save. But Rainey had two saves. Finally, the Nationals finally won a couple games. Sewald had a save on Monday, so I was already upset about that there. But I like all of them. I just find myself like some weeks I'll use two of the three, some weeks I'll use one. But it's tough to time those guys. It's just, you know, I probably Pagan because he's on the Twins, they get more wins, but they don't use him for every save. You know, guys that you want to roster and you can't drop, but it's tough to time them.
Yeah, well, apparently in a 12, someone thought they could drop, and they dropped both he and Juan Duran, which was interesting. Oh,
the funny thing about that is I dropped Tanner Rainey in a 12 last week, but it was to pick up Clay Holmes.
Yeah, so you're fine.
Right, and then Rainey had two saves a week, and he's pitched pretty well. I mean, he's been pretty darn good, but, I mean, at some point in a 12, you might have to make tough cuts, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle was much like the Rays and the Twins, and, hey, Rocco Baldelli's fruit is an apple off the Tampa Bay tree. We shouldn't be surprised that they manage it that way.
Yeah, it's that's very, very true there. I mean, I like Sewald as a pitcher. I mean, his K to walk is really, really good. But, you know, Seattle's another team where, you know, he's the best pitcher. But, you know, Ken Giles is coming back now. He pitched a rehab inning tonight, and he apparently looked pretty good. Had a couple strikeouts in the scoreless inning. So maybe he's going to come back just to muck that up even more. Andres Munoz has kind of been bad lately, so he's kind of out of that mix. Second rider has been bad. But I think
they sent second rider down.
Oh, did you go down today?
I think earlier in the week.
Okay. I know he struggled at some point earlier this week.
It's like a 1.7 whip.
Yeah.
You know.
Nobody.
He earned that demotion. Yeah.
So that's I like Sewald a lot. I wish they would use him as a typical closer, but I know they don't there. Before we get out of here, let's jump to some quick news and notes. There were a lot of injuries over the weekend. I think the biggest one is Tim Anderson. We talked about it a little bit at the top. He kind of went to his left to field a ground ball, threw the ball at first, and kind of just fell down like he got shot. And as he went down, it kind of grabbed his right groin. So I thought that's what it was. And actually did turn out to be a right groin strain. We thought maybe it was a knee at first, the way he fell, but it's a right groin strain. Tony Lewis said he's definitely going on the IL. We don't have any timetables, but that's a bad one right there, both for MLB and for fantasy leagues.
Yeah, the immediate for sure going on the IL, thing is not ideal. And the White Sox, man, what did they do? They're having all sorts of bad luck this year.
Yeah, I mean, and Eloy Jimenez tweaked his hamstring in a rehab game, so you know, that clock got set back a few days, and who knows if it's actually been a few days or more than that. You just hate to see that. At least not a speed guy, but still. Luis Robert Robert, as I think he wants to be called, is expected to return Tuesday from the COVID IL, so that'll help a little bit. But I tell you what, between this and, you know, they've had pitcher injuries, it's been rough injury luck for sure, yeah, for the White Sox.
Eloy with the setback. I mean, at least Lance Lynn had a good rehab outing today, yeah, so there's something positive to say.
But I was kind of impressed they cut Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
I mean, he certainly earned that that DFA, but teams usually owing someone that much money don't tend to pull the string.
Especially the White Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I missed seeing that. So I'm glad you pointed that out. I guess it was yesterday, so that's why I probably missed it. But yeah. Yeah, he's been awful. I mean, the latest was the shelling by the Red Sox. Now, yep. Granted, everybody's getting shelled by the Red Sox right now, but still.
Someone in the chat asked, would you drop Ranger Suarez for Aaron Ashby? I absolutely would.
That was strong.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know,
Ranger Suarez has been legit bad.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of exposure to him, so.
I haven't been a main event, so I've felt the badness, I think, is probably my issue. But
19 walks.
90% strikeout rate, ERA is 4.7. The whip, and we don't talk about whip enough, whip is 1.53. Swinging strike rate's down from 11.2% to 8%. I think this is a guy that is a fully different pitcher than he was last year. I know a lot of those stats last year were as a reliever, and he was gassing out a little bit, but he was really good as a starter too. And every time I watch him, it's just he's right on the edge of getting blown up, and I really don't see it right now. I held him in the main. I tried to cut him in a 12, and I think I cut someone else. I didn't get all the way down my conditionals. But I think he's had, one really good start all year. He had that start against Seattle. He's through six scoreless. Pitched really well, pretty well after that against the Dodgers. But almost all of his starts have been ones that I'd just rather have on my bench.
You know, we should – I'm kind of kicking myself for not noticing this until exactly right this second. Once in his career, he's had a swinging strike rate over 10%. Mm-hmm. And it was only 11.5 last year. It's not like he was blowing people away. Like he's 13, 14, 15. He wasn't Musgrovian.
A lot of those were out of the pen too. Before he became a starter halfway through the year.
Right. Exactly. And if he's as a reliever, he's not even getting, you know, that high K percentage, that high swinging strike rate. I mean, and then as mentioned by Nick in the chat, this is a good point. The worst defense in baseball, except for maybe the Giants right now. The Giants are just hideous right now. But just on paper, the worst defense in baseball. And we saw it again tonight in the first inning. Just an awful, awful defense. If it's not Hoskins, it's Castellanos. If it's not Castellanos, it's Schwarber. If it's not Schwarber, it's Bohm. Didi's hurt right now, so they have to play Stott. Stott had a bad error on Friday.
By the way, Stott can't get a hit. So there's that also. He's been really bad. I don't think he had hit all week.
They're really bad with their prospects too. What's up with that?
He's at 114. Like we joke about it and he's getting hit 214. 114 is brutal. No hard contact, 32% strikeout rate. Anybody using him, drop him. He is not worth rostering right now.
Yeah, that's right.
We had Royce Lewis in Minnesota get called up and then run into the wall. I have him in the main event and I was so excited. I held him. I was like, you know, I think this is a difference maker. I want him when he gets called back up. He's kind of playing third, playing outfield, so they're gonna move him around. And he runs into the wall and whatever the second inning or whatever it was, looked like he ran into it, the left side of his body, but his right knee, which he had the previous ACL surgery on, apparently was what was sore. Rocco Baldelli after the game said, you know, because of our schedule this week, we need healthy guys. He's probably gonna go in the IL, but it didn't sound severe. I held him in the main for one more week. Do you think that was a mistake?
No, not at all. I think it was transparently the obvious move. Okay. Just so much upside.
I thought about it for a while. Obviously, the upside in a main event or any league is the stolen bases, of course. Mm-hmm. I think they want him to play, though. I think they want him to be in the lineup when he's healthy, as shown by the fact they called him up, even with Correa healthy, and they were kind of ready to go and move him around. Obviously, if it's a month injury, I'll drop him, and maybe we'll get some more info on it tomorrow, the next day. But I think if it's a 10-day thing, I think I'm going to hold, and you know, I want him for the second half. We have to remember how darn long a season this is. We're still only in May. I know it's almost June, but we still have like more than two-thirds of the season left. It is such a long season.
It is. Two other things. The NFBC does create that roster tension, though. When Eloy got hurt, and then we lost a couple other hitters at the same time, Joey Wendell, as I alluded to earlier, you just don't have enough spots to slot guys in. If you get the, and then Bryce Harper missed 4 days when he was only supposed to miss one, you know, and, or two, you know, and that sort of thing adds up after a while. But the other thing too, is as much as we like that the Twins are trying to get Royce Lewis up there, this is the danger when you play a guy at a position, ran into a wall.
Pretty darn good, if he's a natural center fielder. Pretty darn good play though, but yes, he doesn't. Yeah. He probably doesn't know how to run into the wall and how to brace himself.
Yeah, he can get tips from Bucks. I can't even finish that. Oh, that's so bad. Come on.
I hope he doesn't take tips from Bucks tonight.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that though. I like the no IL spots. I know some people hate it. Some people I like the roster crunch. I think it helps there's a guys available on the waiver wire. You can stashing guys has a price to it. And it's not, you can just stash them all. I had to drop Brian Belt in one of my online championships because I have Josh Donaldson, his quote unquote shoulder injury, which I don't believe, but I have him, I have Stanton, and I have Tim Anderson. I was like, I had to drop somebody to be able to have a full lineup and a guy on the bench. I like that it makes you make tough calls. Sometimes if you have really bad luck, it does hurt, and I get that. But I prefer that as a rule to a league with IL spots myself.
Yeah. I think it might be a little different in an only league. Maybe not, though, also. Because Tal Wars, you know, it's usually just a wasteland. In an AL only Tal Wars, that is. But and I got aced out on the three viable guys. There were actually viable guys today. I mean, which is actually, but I, of course I got beat on all three of them. So it wasn't that great, but my point is though, I thought that, you know, in an only league, it's just that there's just no replacement value. That's the thing that's tough. Okay. By the way, Brad Johnson asks any reason why Kyle Lewis?
I do have an answer.
Okay. Fire away.
Scott Service said he just wasn't in the lineup, so they wanted to give him a day off. He said, quote, "We're playing the long game here." Service said, "We really want to have him available for the rest of the season." It certainly sounds like it is not an injury and they just want to give him a day off. Obviously they are managing him, but I was back in on him after I read that quote you mentioned earlier. Who knows with Scott Service in the circle of trust, and it does put a little bit of doubt in your mind, but I felt a little bit better than the undisclosed injury that we had earlier.
Yeah. I do
too. Because I was worried maybe that was COVID or he was sick or something like that.
Or he had a setback with his knee, even worse.
Yes, agreed there. So I felt a little bit better like that. So yes, now everybody's making Jock Peterson jokes about IL spots, which I kind of left myself open to with that. Tell you what, Jeff, your Reds, they have some moments.
Yeah, that was the whole funny thing too.
It was the most amazing story ever. I loved it. I loved every bit of it.
I loved everything there. I mean, fantasy Twitter making up reasons for the fantasy football dispute.
Yep.
Baseball beat writer trivia being aghast that fantasy football was the source of an argument. Tommy Pham just doing Tommy Pham things.
He plays hard. He's a good player. He's such an ass. His interview was so – he was such an ass in his interview. It was cracking me up.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about a gigantic chip on your shoulder. That's Tommy Pham.
And always has been. When he left the Cardinals, I mean, when he got sent down by the Cardinals, he was mad and talked about how he was the best player out there and all this stuff. But he's kind of how
he
plays.
Did get screwed a little bit here and there. But
he did.
I think
my favorite part
was difficult to deal with. This sort of thing happens a little bit too.
My favorite part was that it was such a high level money league that this IL spot mattered, but not high enough that he was fine just leaving the league 4 weeks into the season.
Oh, I didn't hear about that part. That's
he quit the league 4 weeks in.
Oh.
So such a high money league that the IL spot, and it was Jeff Wilson of all people. Like Jeff Wilson never.
It was a year and a half ago too, right?
No, it was last.
It was last year. Okay.
Yeah, so I think Wilson had one good game after Mostert got hurt.
Yep.
Like never was good again. Like Jeff Wilson was irrelevant once Eli Mitchell took over. Man, we're down another tangent here, but like the Jeff Wilson being the center of an argument that hits the where he caused you to hit somebody is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I mean, did you and I play in a league with some former MLB players?
Yep.
Were you trying to figure out which two of those guys would have been our version of Pham versus Peterson?
I'm not going to give you the answer on the air, but I definitely know the answer to that question.
I definitely do too. I have the Pham side, at least I do.
The Pham side for sure.
Yeah. Actually, I have a pretty good guess on the other side too. But
I do also. I'm not going
to. I love how Peterson went into all detail too. Did you watch the clip? Yeah, you probably did.
It was amazing. He he pulled up. How do you get mad about a gif like that? And I was joking. I have friends on group chat. I was talking with Rob Silver and Matt Modica and Vlad. And I was like, I say stuff like that way meaner to you guys every day than a gif about your team being bad. And I couldn't be how mad he got about that. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It was such a great story. It just kept getting better too. It's like,
I know.
It just kept building. It was awesome. Aside from Pham getting suspended for 3 games, which I had him in the lineup, which is not great, but other than that, it was good. You mentioned earlier Manny Machado was not in the lineup. You mentioned no Tatis and Machado today. Machado missed out on Sunday with quote tennis elbow. Apparently, he's been watching the French Open or something like that. But sounds not serious, but obviously nothing you want from a guy who was maybe the MVP of the National League before Betts got hot. But Kyle Tucker sat Sunday and had an MRI on his foot, and it was a weird quote. It was like, oh, he's missing the game, he's fine, and all of a sudden he was having MRI on his foot, but didn't sound serious, was the quote from the beat writer. I'd rather get the MRI results before I felt good about that, but it sounds like they don't think it's serious.
Yeah,
you don't order an MRI unless you're worried a little bit, right?
Here's where we remind people again that there are 6 day games tomorrow.
Yep. That Houston Oakland game's a day game tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon?
No, I'm just saying because your alternatives are probably playing.
Oh, that's true too.
Yes, it is. 1 o'clock West Coast time. 1:07.
Wow. They got a nice holiday day game. That's probably gonna be what, 35,000-40,000 there?
Now I'm sure I'll pack them in.
Come on, it's Framber Valdez and Paul Blackburn.
I mean, as far as Blackburn's good, he was available in one of my leagues, Scott.
No,
someone cut him. Yes, and one like I was dumbfounded.
He's 5-0. I mean,
flabbergasted.
Granted, I thought he was terrible to start the year, so I'm not going to be like, oh, well, Blackburn's great, but 5-0, 1.7 ERA. Like, what has he done
in a main event? Dude?
How deep is that guy's pitching staff?
Well, he went. I
hope it's the greatest pitching staff of all time.
Went 3-0-2. So someone we put in a bid on it, but that team is actually, we have lots of starting pitching. I had to talk Shu down to dial down our starting pitching bids a little bit because it was just like, you know, we had 4 starting pitchers on our bench this past week.
You want to spend your money on what you're going to need at some point, but yeah, I mean, Blackburn's been awesome. I mean, there's no way around it. He's striking out more guys, but still not a ton of guys, but getting it done. You know, the home run, lack of home runs he's given up is fairly absurd right now. Him and Martin Perez, I think Blackburn's given up 1 and Perez given up 0. It's coming at some point. I would not have gone 3-0-2 on him, put it that way. But I certainly would not have dropped him.
Yeah. That's the part that I don't understand.
Yeah, someone in the chat mentioned that Brian Hayes won him a DFS GPP and his only homer of the year. Yeah, that was after off Taylor Rogers, so I did not enjoy the homer as much as you do, but congrats on the GPP win. That's way more important than 300 runs off my pitcher, for sure. Vlad Guerrero missed Sunday with a sore wrist, did pinch hit. Teoscar Hernandez had a bit of a hip issue, but he also pinch hit also. I think we're pretty good on both of those guys. Danny Jansen missed today with a bit of a sore hip also. He's been really good too, so hopefully he's fine. We mentioned the White Sox guys. Steven Strasburg, Jeff. 5 scoreless and 6 strikeouts in his Sunday rehab start. Was he available in any of your 12 teamers? And were you going there this week?
He was available in yogurt, and I went there.
How much did you go there for?
37.
All right.
Got him unopposed, which shows me that he was my second choice behind Jeffrey Springs.
If it makes you feel better, yogurt's a 15 teamer. I would have gone more than 37.
Yeah. I mean, you get some crazy sprinkles, so you never know.
Oh boy. He might be pitching in 2 weeks.
he looked, and it was because of his good rehab outing is why I did it. And again, why not? You know, why not go for upside on a situation like that?
Good good Paul Blackburn post in the chat. He faces a 2-step this week, Houston and Boston.
Yeah. That's suboptimal.
You have to throw him if you have him, right?
Yeah, you do.
He's going to get blasted this week.
He might. There is another guy that...
That means Frankie Montas has the same 2-step. Ugh.
Yeah, I think there was another pitcher that was available on waivers that I was like, oh, I'm kind of interested in his upside. Oh, yeah, it was Caprillion. And he gets Boston and then Atlanta. I'm like, no, I mean, Atlanta may not be that bad. But do you really want to have any of your pitchers face Boston right now? I know I don't.
I like the story. I like Caprillion, but I don't really love him as a fantasy pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, the other one that I backed off on was available in waivers. I was already kind of lukewarm anyhow, but Chase Silseth was available. Not 2 starts or anything, but his next 2 outings at Philly and home against Boston.
I dropped him in the main event this week, mostly for that reason. He hasn't been great, hasn't been going deep, but those 2 starts I wanted no part of. And if I can't throw a guy for 3 weeks – And he's a fringe guy. There's no way I can do it.
Yep. So he was not in my waterfall. He was dry there.
Paul Spohr in the chat mentioned he has Paul Blackburn in the main event. I think the one that he's in with me, and he's not throwing him. So there you go. I guess you don't have to throw him. I think he's gonna get smoked. So I think you're making the right call.
Yep.
I don't know if I could do it myself, but I think you're making the right call. Mike Clevenger expected to start next weekend. Probably not going to throw him anyway. Probably won't go deep enough, but he is on the verge of coming back. Josh Donaldson improving after his cortisone injection in his shoulder, which I'm not even sure is a real injury, but sounds like he's coming along. Yoan Moncada missed the weekend with some quad soreness. He just can't seem to stay healthy. He's one of those guys. And another guy in the White Sox. It's crazy how many injuries the White Sox have had.
Yeah. Back to Donaldson. I think there's a possibility. It's a non-zero possibility that he's going to miss a big chunk of games.
Because of the injury or because of he's going to go away and not be seen for a while?
Yes.
Okay. Fair answer. Yeah, that's a fair answer.
Yeah, I think a little column A, a little column B. You know, he's already known for being injury prone and taking forever to come back from injuries.
Right.
And I don't think this goes away anytime soon.
Interesting. Do you think that's a him thing, a Yankees thing, kind of all of the above?
It's just a feeling. It's all of the above.
So
we're. I don't want to put. I'm making great pains not to compare him to Trevor Bauer, who is. I'm not going to compare him.
Would you compare him more to like Phil Mickelson?
Yeah, he's just going away for a while.
I think that's a better comparison because I think Bauer's actions are way different than the SF, so yeah. I don't want to compare.
I don't want to diminish either of the actions.
Let's just put it that way. For sure, but it feels more like Mickelson, like you said something really inappropriate and stupid and maybe need to go away for a while for everybody involved. So I think that's more of a better comp maybe.
Yeah, perhaps. And it's somewhat nebulous in whose choice that is too.
Right. So fantasy-wise, we are a fantasy show. Are you holding Josh Donaldson in a 12-teamer or a 15-teamer at the moment?
We are currently holding him in one of our two mains.
I know you cut him in a 15.
Sucks to do that.
In a 12, I thought about it today. I cut Brandon Belt instead, and I wonder if I'm going to end up regretting that.
You pick him back up.
True. But I don't know. I tend to agree with you. The Donaldson thing is weird. The injury is very conveniently timed, and I'm not really buying most of it.
Yeah. And it's not like, Josh Donaldson, we can't live without him. I mean, that's part of the problem.
In a 15 teamer, that's a pretty good piece, though. But you also have Tatis. Is that the same?
No, I'm talking about the Yankees now.
Yankees can probably do well without him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's this vital, integral part of their clubhouse either.
Right. I'm sure he's definitely not. Neither of those in the clubhouse. On the field, he's probably pretty important. But I can't imagine anybody in the clubhouse is overly sad about seeing him not on the field every day.
Yeah. Also, good teams have depth, and this is another indicator of another reflection of that.
Are you going with Matt Carpenter with that depth?
Mustache, yes, maybe.
I set you up there. They need something. They just call it Miguel Andujar, who has hit in the past at least. Maybe we'll see something again.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about one guy before we get out of here. Jose Berríos was really bad again today for the Blue Jays. The Angels lit him up pretty well. Where are you on him right now? His ERA now is 5.62 on the season. We're deep enough in the season where that hurts right there. That's a third of the season. That's a number that he's got to be really, really good the rest of the way to get it to even a moderately workable number for the whole season. The strikeout rate is down 10%, Jeff.
Yeah,
he was 26% last year, 16.8% now. And that's probably went down a little bit. He only threw 2 2/3. He had one strikeout, but probably went down to 16.5. The walks are about the same. Swinging strike rate is down to 8%. This is a guy who's just not missing bats right now, and that's the biggest concern, I think, with Berríos.
It's like he has a couple of good starts, and then he gives it all back. Yep. And then he has a couple more good starts, and then he gives it back.
Hasn't that always kind of been the way, and it's why he always ends up with just kind of an okay ERA, because he always has those couple of blow-ups in there.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is, the only reason why I'd caution maybe reacting too much to this particular start is, Patrick Sandoval was bad today too, and Patrick Sandoval has been awesome this year.
There was something going on in the water today in Anaheim. Everything was flying out. Everything was weird, but
And two good lineups, by the way, too.
Yeah, very good lineups. Yeah, Otani is so freaking fun to watch. By the way,
yes,
that
he
dude
is.
Just every time he hits a hard fly ball, you're like, oh, that's gone. It's just the power is just absurd.
Yep.
I'm pretty worried about Berríos though. I wouldn't. You probably can't cut him yet, but I mean, dropping a strikeout rate 10%. I know we're still early in the year, but we're far enough in the year where that matters a little bit, and that's a concern to me. I think that's a pretty big problem if he's going to strike out that few guys. It just makes it so there's a lot of balls in play, and You know, his hard contact's way up. It's at 47%. Barrel rate's at 13%. It was 9% last year. It's not like he was missing barrels last year. Move that up a little bit, you cut the strikeout and tub. It's really hard to get through a game without giving up some runs.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, he's kind of my watch list in a 12-teamer, 15-teamer. I think you kind of have to maybe bench him, but you kind of have to stomach it for a while. But it's one that I'd be very, very concerned about if I had him in any kind of a league I cared about, put it that way.
I'm just glad someone else has to be stewing about this one. I don't have him anywhere.
I actually don't either. It's someone that I loved a few years ago and I've kind of backed off of. It just always kind of ended up the same, and I kind of just got tired of it and realized that he just kind of who he was.
Yeah.
Anybody else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to discuss before we jump out of here?
No, I think we've talked enough. People are probably sick of us. Probably. Go enjoy your weekend. Absolutely. Watch baseball.
I appreciate all the comments in the chat. We were a little bit earlier today, so I think we got a little more liveliness and activity in there. Always appreciate that. Appreciate everybody who's listening on the audio version also. We always appreciate any kind of listening or viewing or commenting, anything else like that. If you could please rate or review the podcast, that would help us out a lot also. For Jeff, I am Scott Jensted. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jensted. Other than that, Jeff will be at you next Sunday, correct?
Yes. Yes, you will. Next Sunday, yes, and then the following Sunday off.
Is that
Emerald Isle for me?
Oh, I was trying to figure out. I'm like, that's not the All-Star break yet. I was trying to figure it out. Okay.
No.
That's good. I will have to find a funny and fashionable guest then.
Should be easier to find. Top me in both of those categories.
I already commented how much I like your sweatshirt. So apparently,
yeah, thank you. Appreciate you. I do appreciate you.
Thanks everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. Have a good rest of your long weekend and take care.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.